morning.
Good morning.
It's a good day to be in the building, isn't it? It's good to see you this morning. You look mighty nice out there. Got those pretty smiles. You must have joy this morning.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're supposed to have. The Lord fills us with the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those is joy, right? Okay. Look at a few announcements before we begin worship. See a few listed. Ladies have canceled their lap quilt project till January 13th. This week is Christmas week, so Christmas Eve service will be the 24th at 6 p.m. Tuesday evening, Thursday the 26th, Bible study at 10. And on January the 12th, we'll dedicate the veterans' lap quilts. Does anyone have any announcements to make? I got one more. I have a letter to read. Dear Deep Run Original Free Will Baptist Church, for 50 years, the Deep Run Men's Prayer Breakfast has gathered to pray, hear outstanding speakers, and enjoy fellowship. Mr. Munn's vision started in 1975 at the B&S Cafe, and the people of this church have enabled his vision to become a reality. The Church on the Hill has become a light for this community. Many in this congregation have been unselfish with their time over the years. Elwood Hill, Saudi Harper, Billy Smith, Emmett Smith, Greg Smith, and now my good friend Dennis Hill have all had a hand in the prayer breakfast continued service. Also, Donna Smith and the ladies auxiliary have arrived early each month and prepared a wonderful meal for over 20 years. I estimated more than 4,000 cards have been sent out, and thousands more have been lifted up in prayer. Our attendance is at an all-time high, with 8 or more churches represented each month. Thanks again for helping to provide prayer and comfort for others. Mr. Munn would certainly be proud. I pray for your renovation and that it goes smooth, and we look forward to gathering at Deep Run in the late spring. Hopefully next summer we can have an evening fellowship so Johnny Braxton can join us. We love you, Johnny. Merry Christmas and God bless this church. And this is from Randy Smith from the Deep Run Church. Okay. I know many of you have served and served very well. We do appreciate all of you. Any other announcements? All right, if you can stand, would you stand for the playing of the Hallelujah Chorus? Thank you. Congregation can be seated.
Because too many people are wandering in the wilderness, because too many people are sitting in the valley of the shadow of death, because too many of our conversations are laced with conflict and bitterness, we light candles.
Because people all over the world are suffering and we are often too distracted to notice, we light candles.
One for hope, one for peace, one for joy, and one for love.
May the light from these candles overwhelm the world.
May the light from these candles illuminate the valley of the shadow of death.
And may the fire from these candles burn away whatever would prevent God's love from being born among us.
Friends, be not afraid, even now. God's love is overwhelming the world on earth as it already is in heaven.
Stand with your bulletin. Let's read together the responsive reading. Our souls magnify the Lord.
Our spirits rejoice in God our Savior.
The Mighty One has done great things for us.
Holy is God's name.
Let us worship God.
For God is our Maker and our Redeemer. From generation to generation, God gives mercy.
Father God, it's good that we can gather here today and worship you. We're so thankful that we serve a God who inhabits the praise of his people. We thank you for your presence here, with the moving anointing of your Holy Spirit, that you would descend upon us with great power and move us to be the people that you created us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 285. We're going to sing the Mark verses of O Holy Night.
Oh,
Thank you. You may be seated. Ms. Linda Faye has our scriptures this morning.
Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Micah, and I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it's Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. And this is looking at God's promises, a ruler from Bethlehem, the coming Messiah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. In the New Testament, we'll be reading from the book of Luke. This is chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And this is Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, and to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray. I would remind you, as you pray this week, remember these needs that's listed on the back of the bulletin. And I lift those. Are there any others we need to remember this morning?
Please pray for Johnny.
Okay.
Susan Heath and Dennis.
Susan, Dennis Heath, okay. Teresa Kennedy's brother, Ken Tilton, is in ICU, and that's where they're at, Walter and her, and have asked us to pray. It's not a real good situation, so remember Ken Tilton and family. Any others?
Johnny Peniel.
Who?
Johnny Peniel.
Gary
Hicks have his eye surgery tomorrow morning.
Okay, Gary
Hicks. Got
a good report from her cancer. Hallelujah. Any others?
Jenny Bird.
Okay.
Hannah
Dunn
and Cindy
Howe. All right.
Harry Miller.
Okay.
Be Shirley Griffin.
Okay.
Linda Benson Smith.
Okay.
She's found out that she has cancer.
Okay. Any others? All right, remember to pray for one another and be thankful for the blessings of God. You're one of the great blessings. He's given the deep run, so we need to thank him for that. Let's take action as we pray.
This morning, we are so thankful to be in your house, praising your name and celebrating. We ask your blessings of peace and healing upon those names mentioned publicly, Lord. We also ask your blessing upon the silent prayers that have gone up to you this morning. We ask that you unite us in heart, mind, and body as we continue to worship with you, Lord. We ask that you be with our pastor this morning as he brings your message, and again, open us to receive that message and go out and apply it. Thank you for your Savior, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 292 in our hymnals. Stand and sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. O thou didst leave thy throne.
Oh, Dear Heavenly Father, as always, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. We have 2 days. 2 days before the bringer of all the gifts comes. 2 days before we get to celebrate the birth of your Son, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your intelligence, your faithfulness to us, your teachings, and most importantly, your love. And Lord, as today as we give back to you, we ask that you bless the gift, bless the giver. Use it for thy kingdom, for thy service. For your most heavenly precious name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. May be seated. Our scripture text today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. It reads like this: Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Today's message is don't save it all for Christmas Day. You ever heard of that before? That was a song made popular by Celine Dion. And in the verse she says, don't get busy that you miss opportunities to give a kiss and a smile to the people who are special to you. In this world, people are crying and people are dying for love. So the chorus goes like this. Don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find your way to give a little love every day. Don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find your way, cause holidays have come and gone, but love lives on. It's an undeniable sociological fact that people really are nicer in December. Have y'all ever noticed that? I know, I'm not talking about y'all. I mean, you know, y'all nice all the time, right? People are more likely to give. They're more likely to make an effort to get along with one another. They're more likely to speak to strangers. They're more mindful of those who are in need, and they're more likely to do something about it. And this is good, but the unfortunate flip side of this is that we sometimes get a little lax in the other 11 months of the year. A common theme in Christmas sermons is that we should have the Christmas spirit more than just 1 month out of the year. It should be a 365-day-a-year attitude. Have you ever noticed that over the years? So today we want to consider how we can practice preparing for Christmas in a way that will propel us all the way through 2025. Amen? That was weak. All right. So we've been in a series called Vintage Christmas because we're seeking to capture the power and the authenticity of the and the simplicity of the ancient Christmas celebration. And so we've read here from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 24. And this passage here shows us how we can avoid the tendency to save it only for Christmas Day, as the song talks about. There are five things we'll look at today. Yes, five. I know that's more than three, but five, okay? Five biblical commands to ensure that our heart is not only ready for Christmas, but to be sure that our heart is ready for the next 365 days that's coming at us. So let's look at them. So these five attitudes here help us prepare our minds. And the first is, Paul tells us in verse 16, he says, rejoice always. That's easy, isn't it? You know, for years I struggled with this verse, and I would say it, you know, it says to rejoice always, but how in the world am I going to do that? You know, there's days I'm not joyful, you know, and I can't change the way I feel. And it was many years before I finally came to understand that joy is not a feeling. It's an attitude. It's not an emotion. It is a mindset. And I would try as hard as I could to feel good. And if I didn't feel good, I would try to think positive and to try to positive think my way into a good feeling. And sometimes it would work, but a lot of times it wouldn't. And, you know, joy was often elusive and temporary. And, you know, that's because I was waiting for the right feeling to come along and overwhelm me. And that's not how it works. I learned a simple but powerful biblical distinction. God is calling for the fruit of the Spirit, not the flesh. God is calling for an attitude, not an emotion. Emotions come and go. And, you know, we can't always control our emotions, can we? They change like the weather. But you know, our attitude belongs to us individually. We own our attitudes, and we can control our attitudes. And, you know, we get to decide what we're going to do with our attitudes. Mary C. Crowley said, attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It can color a situation gloomy and gray or cheerful. It's your choice. So our attitude then is really a great weapon that God has given us. Day in and day out, we can choose our attitude. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" So the good news of Christmas is really an attitude changer, isn't it? And a good one at that. Paul says, "Be joyful always." How do you do that? For me, it means I must make every effort to be pleasant and optimistic. It means I must put my hope in God, who has promised to cause all things to work together for good. It means I will put my trust in His ability to see me through the difficult times and to fill me with the fruit of His Spirit, which includes joy. And as I think about these things, these thoughts lead to an attitude of joy. The truth is, when you adopt an attitude of joy, you pave the way for feelings of joy to follow. Be joyful. The second safety measure we're reminded of, be prayerful. Closely connected to the attitude of joy is the attitude of prayer. I often hear about saints who get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and they start their day out with a full hour of prayer. And I think, wow, what an accomplishment. I need to do that more often. And this is a great way to start your day and develop this habit. It's a powerful approach to prayer. But you know what is even more powerful than spending an hour in prayer each morning? Spending 16 hours in prayer each day. That's why Paul said, pray continuously, pray without ceasing. The idea here is that we not just have prayer time in the morning. Now, don't get me wrong, the morning prayer is a good thing. But the idea that our prayer time lasts all day. We sing that hymn, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Maybe we need to sing "Sweet Day of Prayer" or "Sweet Week of Prayer." That's praying continually. Prayer is communication with Almighty God. I know some of us really like to talk. And we should talk with God every day, throughout the day. But we also need to be open to the fact that God would like to say a little something to us. And you know, it's important that we listen, because God's always right. He always knows what's best for us. A lot of people think if you communicate with God or talk with God, you're weird. But I think the truth is, we're weird if we don't constantly talk with God. Keeping an attitude of prayer helps take control of your state of mind. It helps prepare your heart. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said, "Prayer is the wine that makes glad the heart of man." The more time you spend in prayer, the better your outlook is going to be. And there's a third safety measure. Paul said in verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." I know a lot of us have been through a lot of difficult circumstances, and we're going to have some more and some more. But the instruction here is to give thanks in all circumstances. Be grateful. And this is another way to take control of your state of mind. Practice gratitude for everything, good or bad. Whatever comes your way, the instruction is to give thanks. Notice what Paul says here. The key word here, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. The key word is in. He doesn't say for. We all know that there are some situations for which you can't thank God. However, in the midst of that situation, even if you can't thank God for what's happening, you can thank Him for other things. You can thank him for his presence. You can thank him for his help. You can thank him for his ability to turn things around. You can thank him for the people he sends your way to hold you up and to pray for you and to bless you. You can thank him for his ability to make something good out of a mess. There's always something to be thankful for. And if it's really, really bad, we can always thank God that every day is not like that day. Amen. I've learned that in every situation, there really is a lot to be thankful for. And I'm not thankful enough. My life isn't perfect, and if I could snap my fingers, I probably would make some changes. However, even if those changes never take place, I still have more to be thankful for than I could ever express, or I could ever even possibly deserve. The attitude is the mind's paintbrush. If you cover your brush with joy and prayer and gratitude, it enables you to paint the world you live in with colors bright and vibrant and beautiful. If you want this Christmas to be a great Christmas, then follow Paul's advice here. Choose joy. Choose prayer. Choose gratitude. And Paul goes on to say something that answers the question that every Christian asks at one time or another. He says, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Have you ever wondered what God's will is for you? Nobody?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you where it starts. It starts with an attitude of joy. It starts with an attitude of prayer. And it starts with an attitude of thankfulness. If you're doing these three things, you're well on your way to being in the center of God's will for your life. There have been times when I've been seeking answers to specific details of God's will in my life, like maybe about a certain job or a certain place to live or direction in ministry or numerous other things. And he's reminded me again and again and again, if you want to be in the center of my will, be joyful, be prayerful, be grateful, and the rest will come when you need it. And God has always come through. He's never let me down, not one time. And I've learned that being in the center of God's will isn't so much a matter of working for the right company or living in the right city. It's a matter of living and breathing each moment of the day with an attitude of joy and prayer and thanksgiving. That's living God's word. That's living his commands. That's living his will for our lives. And God can bless that. And there's a fourth safety measure. Be pliable. What does that mean, preacher? To be pliable means to be moldable, to be changeable, to be movable, to be flexible. Here's what Paul said in verse 19. He said, "Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test everything. And hold fast to what is good." What is he telling us? He's telling us not to go in situations with our minds already made up. You know, we like to do that, don't we? We like to form an opinion about something, our opinion. And a lot of times it's really not the right thing to do because we're leaving God out of it. But what Paul is telling us here is that we shouldn't go any situations with our minds already made up. Be open to the possibility that God can do something new and something better at any moment, at any time in your life. Be willing to adapt. Be willing to change. Be willing to learn. Be willing to follow God's lead. And church, the truth is, some folks are so hard and stiff and set in stone, they miss out on God. And that's tragic. So during the Christmas holiday season, as all your families are about to get together, you know, don't form an opinion about some of those showing up. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Don't come to the situation ready to rumble, huh? Don't come with some cutting remarks you've worked on and practiced and rehearsed, okay? When we do this, you know what happens? It quenches the spirit of family unity. And it puts out the fire of joy and happiness and love. And it replaces it with ice-cold tension. I encourage you this Christmas, be pliable. Don't go into every situation with your mind already made up. Don't insist on always getting your way. Don't be the instigator. Don't be the wet blanket. Do what you can to stroke the fire of family unity. That's a good attitude to take into Christmas. But it's also a good attitude to carry throughout the whole year. Be willing to say, I will let the Spirit lead me this year, even if it takes me in a new direction. Even if I have to change the way I think or do something different than I've always done. This year, I'm going to listen to God as He moves. I'm going to listen and I'm going to strive to learn when someone speaks a word from God. And I'm not going to go into situations with a mind already what? I'm going to be open because I serve a God who's alive and living. And I'm not going to jump to conclusions without evidence. Instead, I'm going to test things. I'm going to do my homework. I'll come to conclusions based on fact, not rumor. This is what it means to be pliable. It means you're flexible, teachable, and changeable, and usable. And if you're not flexible and teachable and changeable and usable, you'll never be usable in the kingdom of God. Because God is always on the move doing great and mighty things. Being pliable means that you're open to the leading of His Holy Spirit. And He can do whatever He needs to do in your life to bless not only you, but to bless others. So if you want to make this Christmas great, be pliable. If you want to have a great year, be pliable. And here's the fifth thing. Paul says it simply, verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. What he's saying is, be careful. Be careful. I've heard this verse applied to movies and music and how people should dress and where they should go and where they shouldn't go. But let me tell you something, that's just barely the beginning. I think if we're going to be careful and we're going to abstain from every form of evil, we need to avoid evil in our conversation. When words become critical and harsh and hurtful, get away as far as possible. Do like Forrest Gump, run and keep running. When the group discussion takes off in the direction of gossip, when people begin to speculate about the details of other people's life, details that have no business knowing, move on. More damage is done in conversation than any TV show you'll ever watch. We have to be careful about the things that we say, especially when we're talking about God's son or daughter. Amen. Avoid every kind of evil in your thought life, not just lustful thoughts or angry thoughts or vindictive thoughts, self-pity thoughts or hateful thoughts or defeatist thoughts or prideful thoughts. Guard your thought life. A man went to the doctor for high blood pressure. True story. He changed his diet. He started taking a medication to improve the situation. And he said something interesting. He said, I've learned that I can make my blood pressure increase just by thinking the wrong things. You didn't know the Bible was medicine, did you? That's why Philippians 4:8 reminds us the power of thoughts. Think on things that are true, things that are noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Paul said, avoid every kind of evil. What do you need to avoid this Christmas season? What do you need to avoid in 2025? Beware of the danger zones and avoid them. So in conclusion, we tend to be more mindful of things during the Christmas season, more considerate of others and more helpful and more generous. And all this is good. But don't save it all for Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Take it with you all the way through Christmas and into the coming year. And make these five words watchwords for the coming weeks and months. Be prayerful. Be joyful. Be grateful. Be plowful. Be careful. And Paul concludes this passage by saying that God will sanctify you through and through. In verse 24, he says, "He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it." Amen. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us this morning. You give us some specific commands, and they're all good. Help us to apply them to our life today and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymn to the 262. We're going to stand and sing all three verses of Away in a Manger.
Today, those visiting with us, it's been good to have you. Welcome to come back and worship with us. Is everybody ready for Christmas?
I'm ready to celebrate the birth of my Lord and Savior, but I can't say much about the rest.
Okay. All right. I do thank you for all of the cards you've sent and the gifts, expressions of love. Billy and I, we thank you for that. And hope you have the best Christmas ever. Amen. If you're traveling, be safe. Pray for one another. And God's going to be good to us, I believe. That's his promise. We've got a new year coming up. And I expect great and wonderful things to happen. All right. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? Father, we're glad we could gather here today and worship. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in the faith and for your church worldwide, Lord, as everyone worships on this day. We know a lot of prayers and praise or going to heaven, and you must be mighty thankful and for that. Help us to be a unified people as we follow Christ, and we recommit ourselves to you this morning as we pray your prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.